Good morning, church. Good morning and welcome to First Colony. So glad that all of you are here today. What a wonderful day it is to gather in this place and worship together. I'm so glad you're here. If it's your first time here, I'm thankful for your presence. I'm glad you found us. I hope you'll come back. If you've missed a couple of weeks, I'll catch up real quick. Ronnie and I are in the middle of a series we're simply calling Roots and Wings. In this series, it's all about how can we allow our roots to go down and grow down deep into the rich soil of God's great love. How can we develop wings that are strong and ready to fly into the future, into the world around us, to go forward with confidence, with faith, with hope, and with love? And I'll be honest, this series is, it's aimed at our families, but to tell the truth, the things we're talking about, these principles, these ideas, they apply to all of us. To all of our lives, wherever you find yourself, in whatever context or situation or season of life you are in, I'm telling you, there's something that's in this for everyone. And that may not be more true than it is today. And in fact, I want to begin with one thought, with one idea, with one thing that if you don't hear anything else I say, I want to make sure you hear these next four words, because I think this is so true. Here they are. Your words carry weight. Your words carry weight. When I was in high school and even into college, I developed, you might even say, I mastered the spiritual gift of sarcasm. Anybody else have this spiritual gift? It's not a spiritual gift. You know what sarcasm is? Sarcasm is that ability to say something that has a little bit of truth in a hurtful way, but that's also kind of funny. And me and my friends, we were great at this. We were always poking at each other, saying things. And you know what this is like. Somebody shows up and they're a few minutes late, and you might say something like, well, thanks for gracing us with your presence. You know, a little true, a little hurtful, but kind of funny. Or they come down and they're all dressed up to go out to eat or go wherever you're going to go, and you say something like, well, that's an interesting outfit. Were you going for the before picture? You know, don't say that. It's sarcastic, and there may be a little bit of truth there, but it's hurtful even though you're trying to be funny. What I want to suggest today is that while there might be a time and place for sarcasm with friends, it has no place in your family. And the reason I say that is because of this. Your words carry weight. Your words carry weight. I think we all know this, but at the same time, it's something that it seems like we forget it almost every single day. Your words carry weight, that's true, but you also know this is true, that some words carry more weight than others, and it really all depends on who says what. On who says what. And I want to show you how this works out in real life. I want to illustrate this in a way that I think you'll get. I'm going to ask my three beautiful, amazing, wonderful kids, see what I did there, to come and help me on stage. If you guys would welcome Will and Emma and Gracie on stage. Yeah? It's a rough life being a preacher's kid, but these guys are amazing and they are great. And whenever I ask for their help, they're always willing to say yes, and I really do appreciate that about these guys. This is Emma. She just turned 13. Gracie is 15. Will is 17, and I think these are some pretty amazing human beings. But I want to show you like how this principle works out, like in real life situations. Maybe this is, happens in your family. All of these things have happened or could happen in our family. Let's take a day in the life of sweet Emma, for example. Let's say Emma's at school one day, and she's in class, and her teacher's teaching away, trying to help all of her students, but especially Emma, maybe figure out something or learn something new. And at some point in the class, maybe Emma raises her hand and gives an answer and says something and does something good, and her teacher looks at her and says, Emma, you are really smart. Well, that comment, those words from a teacher, from an adult in her life, I mean, that carries some weight. I mean, just imagine, that's like 10 pounds. It's like, that's significant, what she just spoke into my daughter's life. Now, say a few minutes later, maybe class is over and they're walking to lunch or somewhere, and one of Emma's friends, one of her peers, comes up to her and she says the same thing. Yeah, Emma, you really are smart. Well, those words from one of her friends from a peer, it may not weigh as much as it would coming from an adult or from a mentor or a teacher in her life, but it's still significant. It still carries some weight. And now Emma is just on cloud nine because people are just speaking encouragement and truth and goodness into her life, and she's really feeling good about her life. But then imagine different day altogether. You good? All right. It's a different day. And on this particular day, maybe school's been a little more difficult, a little hard, right? And she comes home from school and she's got homework, or maybe she's studying for a quiz or for a test the next day, and whatever it is, like it's hard, like it's not clicking, it's not coming together in her brain. She can't quite get it memorized or figured out or understand how to do whatever it is she's supposed to do. And so her mom comes alongside her and says, hey, let me help you, let me study with you. And they go after it. I mean, they study for 30 minutes. It turns into an hour. It turns into 2 hours. And they're working hard trying to memorize it or figure it out or learn it. And finally, after all that work, it clicks. And Emma gets it. And now her mom, Alicia, looks Emma, her daughter, in the eye. And she says, Emma, you are so smart. Well, those words coming from her mom, man, they are significant. Hold this for me. Well, you get the point. Like, those words, they carry a lot of weight, right? Take a day in the life of Gracie over here. Gracie, are you good? You want to put those down?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Gracie, you know, it's a Sunday morning, and she's ready to go to church, and she gets dressed up all in a cute outfit, and she shows up here at First Colony on a Sunday morning. She finds her friends in the youth group, and she walks up to one of her friends. Probably wasn't your son or daughter. It was somebody else altogether. But she walks up to one of her friends, and her friends makes a negative comment about her outfit. Well, now, those words from a friend to a young girl about her clothes, about her outfit, about her appearance, like, that hurts, doesn't it? Like, that weighs a little bit. Now she's walking around and she's carrying that comment and she's kind of feeling bad about herself. She's feeling hurt by that comment. But then Kennedy, her youth minister, this adult in her life that she looks up to and she admires and she loves and she thinks Kennedy hung the moon. Kennedy walks up to Gracie and, by the way, Kennedy would never, ever do this. But Kennedy looks at Gracie's outfit, and she says something like, yeah, I would never wear that either. Ouch! Now Gracie's just feeling really weighed down. Put that on top. You got all that? There you go. Now she's feeling hurt and weighed down, and Kennedy's looking for a new job, and and we don't know what's going to happen next, right? Like, you see how this works. Like, your words carry weight. By the way, Gracie, you look beautiful today. Just want you to know that. But let's take a day in the life of Will. Will goes to school one day, and it's a normal day, folks. I mean, nothing too good, nothing too bad, just right down the middle, easy, nothing to report, just an average normal day. Will's a junior. He's also a baseball player, and so he's got a game that night, and he goes to the game. Me and his mom, his parents, we show up to the game with all the other parents. His sisters, they probably don't come because they've gone to a lot of baseball games. And anyway, that's another sermon for another day. But we're there, and all the parents are there, and we're cheering our kids on. And you know what this is like. Like, we've all been there in whatever it is that we do. But it's just one of those days where whatever it is, it's not working. It seems like Will can't hit a ball to save his life. He goes out to play the field, and here he ends up with an error or two, and all of a sudden that internal voice starts talking. You know what I'm talking about? That negative internal voice starts talking, and inside of his own head, he's thinking, man, I'm terrible. And just that internal negative comment, like, it's weighing him down. Like, he's out here trying to play the game he loves, but he's already weighed down by just that internal voice. And then he goes and he boots another ball, and one of his teammates says, come on, Will, you stink. Get it together. Oh, man. Well, now he's trying to play and trying to do his thing, but he's just feeling more and more weighed down. And then something else happens. I don't even know if it was his fault, but now the coach is barking at him. And the coach is like, Will, either get it together or go get on the bench. Well, all of a sudden, man, Will just feels like he's just carrying the weight of the world. And he's out there trying to do his thing, but it's just getting heavier and heavier and heavier. He's good. He works out. Game's over. His team loses. He feels like it's all his fault. And then he gets home, and the first person he sees is me. You still good? And I've got one shot in this moment. I can pile on. I can just start going after him, talking about how bad he was, how he stunk it up. I can even try to be sarcastic, like, what were you thinking? What were you doing? That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Why don't you go in? Let's sit that down. We're not done yet, but I don't want him to pass out. Hey, dads, can I talk to you for a minute? Because I've been in this moment, and I bet you have too. And moment of confession, I've made a lot of mistakes, and Will can tell you. So I'm not coming up here telling you, like, I get this right. But in this moment, you've got an opportunity. And what you say or don't say, what you do or don't do in this moment, you may regret it for the rest of your life. You can try to be funny. You can try to be sarcastic. You can pile on. You can do that. You can be angry. You can be mad. You can be frustrated. You can do that. You can do that. But dads, especially in the room, can I just remind you in this moment how much weight your words carry? Doesn't matter if your kid plays sports or not. It can be after a tough loss on the car ride home. It can be after a bad grade. It can be after a day when things didn't go the way they were supposed to, or a mistake or a bad decision happened. Whatever the situation, whatever the context, you got an opportunity in that moment. And you can pile on, but if you do, it will feel like to your kid that you just took every weight in the weight room and you just buried him. And it is soul crushing. You can do that. Or you can realize in that moment just how much weight your words carry. And all you got to say, all you need to say is, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I love watching you play. I love watching you grow up. I love watching you do whatever it is you do. I know things didn't go your way today. You can speak truth. But we'll get them next time. Keep up the good work. And it's not as if your words in that moment give him weights or give her weights that counterweight all the negative things that have happened. It just enables them to lay down all the weights they have been carrying. Because in that moment, you remind them, you are my son, you are my daughter. I am proud. And you are loved. Your words carry weight. Give these guys a round of applause. Thank y'all. Thank you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Those guys are awesome. Your words carry weight. And some words carry more weight than others. And it all depends on who said what. And I think it's why, when you open the scriptures, and especially when you read Paul's letters, you find that almost every time he was writing to a church or writing to a group of people, many of whom were like sons or daughters in the faith to him, he always started with encouragement. He knew that his words carried weight, and he wanted to leverage his words wisely in that moment. And you can see that in almost every place, but I want to show you that in his letter to the Ephesians. If you have your Bible or the Bible app, YouVersion Bible app, let me encourage you to open to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. I think it's helpful to remember that, you know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote much of the New Testament, all these letters to different churches in different places. Every one of them is corrective teaching. Every one of them, he's having to have hard conversations, address difficult things, difficult topics, tell them, hey, you're doing this, you need to do that. You're thinking this, you need to think that. You're going this way, you need to go that way. Like every letter he's writing for a reason. It's corrective teaching. He knew he would have to have difficult conversations and say hard things, speak truth in love. But before he ever did any of that, he always considered how much his words weighed. And he always spoke into them. Words of life and words of grace, words of truth and words of encouragement. And you see that in Ephesians chapter 1. This church, Paul's writing around AD 60. It's a church he'd spent some 3+ years with. This church is a church that he deeply and dearly loved. These people were literally like sons and daughters in the faith to him. And he needed to communicate some hard things. But before he did, I want you to hear what he writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul begins this way. He says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. Just push pause right there. It is good to tell people, I have not stopped thanking God for you. It is good to tell your kids, I have not stopped thanking God for you. Do you hear the pride in Paul's voice? Like a father to these sons and daughters in the faith. Hey, come here, we have to have a talk, but before we do, let me tell you this. I have not stopped. Like every time I pray, I thank God for you. He knows how much weight his words carry. And he begins with these words, I have not stopped thanking God for you, but he doesn't stop there. He continues, he says, and I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. And I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Two things Paul says that I think we need to say to our kids over and over, to our grandkids over and over again. I have not stopped thanking God for you, and I pray for you constantly. I have not stopped thanking God for you. And I pray for you constantly. When's the last time you told your kids, hey, I'm praying for you? It's the last time you asked your kids, your grandkids, hey, what can I be praying for you? What do you need prayers for? You see, it's one thing to be praying for your kids, and no doubt Paul was praying for these sons, these daughters in the faith. It's something else entirely when you then communicate that and you tell them not just that you're praying for them, but then you tell them what you're praying for them. And that's what Paul does. And if you're wondering, man, I don't even really know what to pray for my kids, just pray for them. The same thing Paul was praying for his kids in the faith. Pray for them to have a spirit of wisdom so they can grow in their knowledge of God. Pray for them to have hearts flooded with light so they can understand our confident hope. This is what Paul was praying for them, but he wasn't just praying this for them. He told them, hey, this is what I'm praying for you. I want you to have a spirit of wisdom. I want you to have a heart flooded with light. And as he did that, those words carried weight in their lives. They knew this man that they loved and respected and appreciated and admired, was thinking of them, was praying for them, and they knew what he was praying for them. And those words, because of that, carried a lot of weight. Paul says, I'm praying for you to have spiritual wisdom. I'm praying for your hearts to be flooded with light. And then he says in verse 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. What else do you pray for? Pray for this, that your kids can understand God's incredible greatness and power for those of us who believe in him. Maybe one of the very best things you can do for your kids, for your grandkids, is to give them a big view of God. to cast a vision for them, to communicate to them just how big and just how awesome and just how good and just how great our God really is. When our kids were little, we used to teach them this song. You remember this song? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing our God cannot do. Some of you, yeah. Now we know who goes to VBS. Sometimes I wonder, though, if the adults who sing those songs and songs like those songs, if they really believe those words. Don't ever minimize our God. Don't ever put our God in a box. There is nothing our God cannot do. That is exactly what we want our kids to grow up knowing and believing and learning, not just because we speak it into their lives, but because we live it into their lives. Our God is uncontainable. He is untamable. He is indescribable. There is no one like him. There is no one beside him. He has no rival. He has no equal. He is God, and he is God alone. We serve a great and mighty and powerful God. This is the greatness of our God, church. This is who we want our kids, right? Yeah. This is who we want our kids to believe in and know. There's nothing our God cannot do. And Paul continues that in the next verse because he keeps on going. He says in verse 21, he says this about God. Now God is far above. He's far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And God has put all things, let me say that again, God has put all things, absolutely everything, under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things. Why? Did you know this? Why? Why has God put all things under the authority of Christ? For the benefit of the church, for you and for me. And the church, we are his body. And it is made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. This is the greatness of our God. And oh, by the way, this God is for us. Paul wanted these people to know, these sons and daughters in the faith to know, this is who God is. This is how great our God is. And oh, by the way, I want you to know that your God, this God, there is no God like our God. He is for you. And then he would go on to write in this letter and in every letter, other truth, speaking other truth in love into the hearts and lives of his sons and daughters so that they would know. They would understand, they would come to believe and come to identify with the truth, the reality of who they are as children of God, as believers in Christ. Paul knew his words carried weight. So let me just speak some of these words that are Paul's words, these words that carry more weight than my words ever will, these words that are the word of God over you, just like they were spoken over the first church, because I want you to hear exactly who you are. Hear these weighty words from our brother Paul, who wrote, You who believe in Jesus, you are a child of God, and God is your Father, Romans 8, 14 and 15. You are a joint heir with Christ, sharing in his inheritance with him, Romans 8, 17. You are a temple, a dwelling place of the living God. His Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, lives inside of you, 1 Corinthians 3, 16. You are united with Christ, and you are one spirit with him, 1 Corinthians 6, 17. You are a member of Christ's body, Ephesians 5, 30. You are a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. You are reconciled to God, and you are a minister of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. You are a son, a daughter of God, and you are one in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3, 26 and 28. You are an heir of God because you are a child of God, Galatians 4, 6 and 7. You are a saint. You are holy, Ephesians 1, 1. You are God's workmanship, his handiwork. You are born anew in Christ to do his good work, Ephesians 2, 10. You are a fellow citizen with the rest of God's family, Ephesians 2:19. You are righteous and holy, Ephesians 4:24. You are a citizen of heaven, seated in heaven right now, Ephesians 2:6. You are hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. You are chosen of God. You are holy, and you are dearly loved, Colossians 3:12. This is who you are. Somebody say amen. This is who you are in Christ. Paul knew that his words carried weight. And to a church that was at that time in the first century facing adversity within the church and without the church, false teachers within the church, persecution without the church, Paul knew that this church, who was facing and dealing with complacency and danger of losing sight of their very first love, he knew that his words carried weight. And he could have piled on them. He could have said, you guys got to figure this out. You got to get your act together. You got to start doing what's right. You got to start doing this. You got to start believing that. But he knew that his words carried weight. And so he spoke truth and life and grace and encouragement over them. Words full of faith, words full of hope, words full of truth, and words full of love. Paul understood that his words carried weight, and he understood that his words lightened the weight that others carried. And listen, church, yours do too. Your words carry weight, and your words lighten the weight that others carry. And so the only question I want to ask you today is simply this. How will you use your words? How will you use your words? My guess is, generally speaking, there's two kinds of people in the room today. Some of you are like this tree over here. Every week, I go outside where this tree is sitting in the sun. And personally, like I do this, I water this tree. And I must say, it's doing pretty well. Its leaves are green. It's growing. It's thriving. It's flourishing. It gets plenty of light, plenty of love, plenty of water. It's got good soil. I check on it every week, and it's doing great. It is growing and flourishing and thriving. And some of you today, you're just like this tree. You're just like this tree. You are growing and you are flourishing and you are thriving. And that's for a lot of reasons. Maybe you're spending a lot of time in the light of the presence of God. If that's you, praise God. But I'm going to guess this is also true. There's probably one person. Truth is, there's probably more than one person who is speaking words of life and truth and grace and encouragement into your life. And because you have a person or because you have people who are pouring into you, watering you, speaking words of life and love and grace and truth and encouragement into you, you are growing and you are flourishing and you are thriving. Some of you are just like this tree. Some of you, maybe many of you, maybe a little bit more like this tree. This tree has not been watered in about 2 weeks, if I remember right. If you can, I don't know if you can see, leaves are starting to turn brown, curl up. It's full of sand. It's been sitting in the back in the dark every day. This tree is not growing. It's not flourishing. It's not thriving. It's not receiving any sunlight. It's not receiving any water. And a lot of you are really mad at me about this tree. I hope you are. Because I want you to feel for people around you what you're feeling for this tree. Because people are a lot like plants. And there's people in this room, a lot of people in this room today, and they are not growing, and they're not flourishing, and they're not thriving, because there's nobody pouring into them words of life, words of love, words of truth, words of encouragement, words of grace. And they need somebody like you. Put our arm around them and to speak words of faith and hope and love into them. They need somebody to pour into them so that they can grow and flourish and thrive. Maybe today you're a little more like this tree. You got people pouring into you. Maybe you're a little more like this tree and you are just starving, literally dying for someone to come and put an arm around you and pour into you. No matter where you are on that spectrum today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today to be the kind of person that speaks words of life and love, weighty words of encouragement into people around you.